We're glad, honored that you're here today, and we have been talking about God being able today, and I think that is where you start when you talk about discovering God. You talk about His power. You talk about Him being able to do all things. And when we say, when I say, who is able, you need to say, God is able. You ready? Who is able?
God is able.
Who is able? That means there's nothing He can't do. Theologians have a $10 word for it. It's called omnipotence, meaning all-powerful. And knowing that God is able, that should change the way you live your life. That means nothing that comes in your life, no problem, no struggle, no trial, it's nothing that God cannot solve or give you the strength to walk through. Amen? Who is able? Let's pray. Lord God, today, increase our understanding of this wonderful truth that You are able. There is nothing too hard for You. We thank You for in the universe that preaches that message every day. And Lord, I don't know what people have brought into the room this morning. I know There's sadness, there's probably joy, there's probably worry. I know there's struggles in relationships today, and we just want to pray and ask You, Lord, remind us of the fact that there is nothing too hard for You. If we bring our problems and our struggles to You, we thank You this day that You are able. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Jeremiah the Holy Spirit through the pen of Jeremiah that said, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, You have made the heavens and the earth, and by Your great power and outstretched arm, nothing is too hard for You." Sometime in our day and age, we need a visual reminder that God is Creator. The whole earth is full of His glory. Let's watch a video here that I think you'll really enjoy.
Thank you. fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea.
Who is able?
God is able.
Nothing reveals God's power like his creation. Amen? And we haven't even got into the universe yet, guys. We haven't even got into the universe yet. Nature, Spurgeon says, is God's greatest evangelist. He's speaking to us everywhere we go. And by the way, if you have your outline, you want to pull your outline out and fill in every time you see a yellow word that's underlined. If you're our special guest today. And like I said, we haven't even begun to look up. This is a nebula cloud that's 180,000 light years from Earth. Look at the beauty of that. David says, the heavens declare the glory of God. This is a supernova located 11.5 million miles from Earth. A supernova is a death of a star, explodes. And this is the remnants of it when it explodes. And this, my friends, is a black hole located 26,000 light years from the Earth. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. Our God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there is nothing our God cannot do. To God, the universe is nothing more than a two-man tent. What kind of problems do you have, family? Huh? What kind of struggles do you have today? Is there nothing too hard for the Lord to resolve in your life or give you the grace to walk through? To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Do you realize that in order for the universe to keep going, there has to be a power greater than the universe sustaining it? And my suggestion and my belief and the scriptures today teach me that God is the one who sustains all things. He is the one that holds it all together. And you say, how can I believe that? Well, Louis Giglio does a great little bit on called about the laminin molecule. Most people have never heard of the laminin molecule. It is the self-adhesive molecule that's in your body. You're made up of millions of laminin molecules. It's the glue that holds you together. And when scientists finally put a microscope under it, they found that it was in the shape of a cross. Jesus says, I am the one who sustains all things. I hold the universe together, and I'm going to prove it to you. Your body is made of little crosses. God is the one that holds your life together, gives you your next breath. It takes no more effort for God to create a universe than it does for Him to create an ant. My favorite, by the way, the Sombrero Galaxy, still has my vote, 28 million miles, a million light years away. God is not like a battery. You know, when you use a battery, it goes out. If you have any of those rechargeable ones, you got to recharge them. But God is not like a battery. When God's power goes out, He still has the same power that He did a million years ago. He still has the same power today. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. God doesn't have a birthday. God is not created. The creator of the ends of the earth, He will not grow tired or weary. Aren't you glad of that? God doesn't take a vacation. God doesn't sleep or slumber. It is understanding no one can fathom. Is there anything God cannot do? Well, yeah, there's actually four things that God cannot do. Did you know that? Four things. First, the scriptures teach us that God cannot lie. Cannot lie. He is truth. Secondly, He's not going to deny Himself. Job basically put God on trial and said, you know, it's God's deal, you know. And God said, are you trying to justify yourself by blaming me, Job? I can't deny myself. I can't do that. God won't tempt anybody. And God won't force anybody to love Him. These are the things God cannot do. But everything else is, there's nothing too hard for God. Okay, I get that God is powerful. Yeah, I get that He is able. But why doesn't God do something about the poverty and the suffering in this world? I mean, we got all these people that are, you know, really struggling and they have all these problems and suffering. And why doesn't God do something about that? You have to remind yourself that God created a perfect world where there was no sin, there was no death, there was no evil and suffering in the beginning. God created every human being with freedom of choice, and unfortunately they chose to rebel against God. If you and I did not have choice, we would not have love, because love is only love if it's freely given. So God created a perfect world where there was no sin or suffering, death or poverty. And our choice to sin, our choice to rebel against God, brought us consequences. It brought us those things. and messed up our laws of nature. Did you realize God put laws into when He created all things, He put laws into practice. Unfortunately, sin has even messed that up, so that Paul says in Romans chapter 8, even creation groans, longing to be renewed, longing to be restored. So when you see tornadoes and earthquakes, that's a law of nature that's been affected by sin. It was not meant to be that way. But I say, with these consequences, there's also an opportunity to love. See, God has done something about poverty. He's done something about suffering. He's given us hands. He's given us feet. He's given us the opportunity to love. And we can't sit there and blame God for all the suffering and poverty of this world when we got commercials about weight loss. There's something messed up about that. When I sit there and blame my Creator for all the suffering in the world and I'm living in luxury. And I'm not willing to share that with anybody else. No, God's done something about poverty. He's given us the opportunity to love. If God is able to do all things, then why does He not answer prayer for healing? And I know for a lot of us in this room, this is a real struggle. Because did you know that many people walk away from God when there's an illness in their family, there's disease, there's cancer, whatever have you? People decide to, well, God obviously isn't going to do His part, so I'm just, you know, forget believing and trusting in Him. And I know we've talked about this in the past, but I think the Spirit of God is wanting to speak to us again today, because I think there is a real struggle for a lot of people in this room with this issue. And you and I have seen the paradox, haven't you? Two people, same situation, hundreds pray, one dies, one lives. Why? Why does that happen? Why does God choose not to heal sometimes? There ain't any easy answers. I ain't got them. Does it mean God's not powerful enough? Well, I think we already seen that God is plenty powerful enough to do all things. Does it mean I don't have enough faith? You know, as these guys on television tell me, which are false, very false? Absolutely not. Those are not the issues. Does God heal in response to prayer? Absolutely. Does God always heal in response to prayer? Ultimately, yes, He does. But let Him decide what form of healing will take place and what method He will bring in response to your prayers. You have to let Him figure out how it's going to happen. And even if it doesn't come out the way you like it to come out, we still have to trust Him that that is the best way. So what are some ways God heals in response to prayer? Well, first of all, God can heal miraculously. I believe with all my heart. God can do all things. I have seen people with cancer where doctors said there is absolutely no hope for this individual, and people prayed, and God healed that individual. I know an AIDS orphanage Teresa and I were very affiliated with, good friends of ours, Canadian Pentecostal Assemblies of God, ran this amazing AIDS orphanage in Tanzania where we lived. Children would be brought that had full-blown AIDS. They were going to die soon. And miraculously, many of them were healed. I believe because of prayer. I believe because God has a testimony to speak to people today. When it comes to healing miraculously, though, there's two extremes that we got to be very careful of. We can't say no miracles happen today. And we can't say miracles only happen if you exhibit enough faith. Both of those statements are not true. Very false. But understand today, yes, God does heal miraculously. Secondly, God can bring healing through the natural healing of processes of our bodies. Your body and my body, they have healing power. They heal themselves. And prayer releases that power of God to enhance that immune system. I believe that. So God can bring healing through the natural healing processes. Thirdly, God may heal by means of medicine. He may choose to use a doctor. Ben Carson is one of the most amazing men I've ever seen. If you've ever, you know anything about him, a lot of people want him to run for president. He is an amazing physician. Several years ago, he did a surgery on a child that was born, twins that were born that shared a brain. And everybody told him, he said, I want to operate. I want to separate the kids. I want to separate their heads. And I believe that we can heal. And everybody in the medical community said he was crazy. Ben Carson, being a follower of Jesus Christ, said, no, I believe with all my heart that God is going to guide me and these children are going to be healed. 34-hour surgery. South Africa, true story. And both children came out alive and are living today. Don't ever tell God he can't do something. Don't limit him. Because who creates the medicine? Natural herbs. People have been using them for thousands of years. They work. You can go in Brazil, you can go to these little shops where they have all these herbs. And believe it or not, they work. Who gives knowledge and gifts and abilities to our doctors today? God does. God does. So God may heal by means of medicine or doctors. The fourth way is that God may, in response to prayer, leave a chronic physical ailment to help us to grow spiritually. This is the one we don't like. Well, we pray and we pray and we're not healed and we're going, okay, what's up? Sometimes I think the Lord leaves something chronic in order to help us spiritually. And I want you to understand that God doesn't cause sickness. He can use it for our benefit and for His glory. He can use sickness. And He promises us sufficient grace during those times when we are sick, ill, we're struggling with our faith. God says, I'm going to give you sufficient grace during those times. Paul says, so to keep me from becoming conceited, Paul had a near-death experience, had been to paradise and back. Because of the surpassing greatness of these revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. Who is this man? So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. There is a guy who got it. And what was the reason? Because of pride. Pride is one of our biggest struggles as human beings. I can do it myself. I don't need God. I can do it on my own, thank you. And the thorns, and I'm so thankful God doesn't tell us. Paul doesn't tell us, my thorn was my eye problem. Or he doesn't tell us what it is, and I'm glad. And he pleads with God, please take this from me. Have you prayed that prayer? Lord, please take this from me. And here's the promise. My undeserved kindness is enough for you. It's enough. I will walk with you. You're not alone in this. I'm going to walk with you through it. Because my power is made perfect in weakness. Who is able? God may not change our circumstance, but He will give you the grace to walk through it. Because I've seen it over and over here again. I've seen you. I've seen you in your illnesses. I've seen you having problems in your marriage. I've seen you with your problems with your children. And God gives you that grace He gives you that strength that you thought you'd never have. He carries you because He loves you. And He doesn't give up on us. One of my favorite people in the world is Johnny Erickson Tada. If you have never heard of her, Johnny's Story is a famous movie, great movie to watch. She was 17 and she had a diving accident where she dived into an area she thought was deep and it was shallow. Broke her neck, her brother rescued her. And she spent 2.5 to 3 years in traction, upside down. She'd been a believer before this, but she said, "Nothing prepared me for this. I was angry with God. Why did you do this to me, God? I'm 17 years old. You've taken my whole life from me." She's very angry. And after 4 or 5 years of rehabilitation, she finally gets out, and God is sending people to minister to her constantly, and eventually she realizes she's sitting. God, this story kills me. She's sitting by the window one day, feeling sorry for herself, being very angry with God. And this bird comes right in front of her, a beautiful bird. And that's like the Lord spoke to her heart and said, "Johnny, if I care about this little bird, how much more do I care about you? I didn't cause that, Jack. I will use it for my glory if you will let me." And she said that was the turning point of her life. And she has a ministry. She goes all over the world speaking to people. She is an amazing woman of God. Eva Pates. What's amazing about this lady? She says, "How could it be anything less than a joy to serve the one who has given us all things for life and enrichment and enjoyment?" I'm sorry. "What an encouragement to realize that God has reserved you and me for a special task in His great work. In His hands we're not only useful but priceless. The greatest good suffering can do for me is to increase my capacity for God." Wow. That woman is preaching more sermons than 10,000 ministers by her life. And how you respond to your trial and your calamity and your sickness will speak more to a world that needs a Christian witness. Perhaps we have a chronic sickness to discover that God is enough. I don't need anything else. God is enough. His grace is sufficient. And as I said, perhaps our weaknesses is a platform to show the world what authentic faith looks like. God is entrusting that to us. Have you ever thought of it from that perspective? And may I remind you, what is more important than physical healing is forgiveness. You remember the guys in Mark chapter 2? I love this. Jesus is teaching, and these guys are so desperate to get to Jesus that they break open this guy's roof. They don't care what he thinks. And they drop this paralytic in front of Jesus. And does Jesus say to him, "Well, you're healed, physically healed"? First thing out of that mouth, he says, "No, son, your sins are forgiven." And then he healed him. Spiritual healing is more important than physical healing. And finally, the last way God responds to sickness is God may, in response, allow the disease to take its natural course and end in death. You know, Lazarus was brought back to life, and I'm sure he was a popular dude on the circuit, man. But many years later, he still died. Ultimate healing for a follower of Jesus is death. Why are we so afraid of it? It's not defeat. It's just a temporary parting. And it is a win-win situation. You don't lose.
don't lose.
As we close today, I want to share with you a story that's very touching. True story. Jess Moody is a minister up in Owensboro, Kentucky. And one of the families in the congregation he worked with, the woman had terminal cancer. And the doctors had given her maybe a week, 2 weeks to live. And so her husband comes to Jess and says, "Will you please go see her in the hospital? She's been calling out for you. She's been wanting to talk with you about something." And so he went out there. I want to make sure I get this right. And so this is the verse the Lord lays on his heart. "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day." And he was like, "Man, what's with this?" So he goes to see her in the hospital. He shares that text with her, and a couple days go by, and he comes back, and the wife says to Jess, "You know, I've been thinking about that verse you gave me. And you know, it's good, because I've been doing the math, and I figure if 1,000 years are like a day, then 40 years is like 1 hour. I'll be leaving my husband and the children soon. He may live another 40 years, but that will be just an hour to me in heaven. And when he gets to heaven, I'll greet him and say, 'Where have you been for an hour? Did you just go to the office or something? I've missed you.' And my children may live another 70 or 80 years, but that will be like 2 hours to me when they get to heaven. I'll greet them and say, 'How was your school today? Mommy misses you, and you've been gone for a couple of hours. I wonder how you're doing, because mommies don't like to be away from their children long.'" Jess just lost it, as anybody would. He prayed with her, and that same week she went home to be with the Lord. Her husband said these were her last words: "I love you. Take care of our children. I'll see you in an hour." That is perspective, family. Who is able? He sees the entire picture of someone's life. Maybe taking them home was the best thing for them. And was the prayer answered? Yes. Maybe not the way we like it, but it was answered. Prayer is trusting the final outcome to the Lord. The lesson I get from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the lesson I get from Job, is I'm going to praise him if he heals me. I'm going to praise him if he doesn't heal me. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego said to the king, who were going to throw him into the fire because of their faith, "Even if God doesn't rescue us, we are not going to bow down to your gods, because he is able to save us." Who is able? The greatest measure of God's power is that one day that he will... When Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says every human being since Adam and Eve will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye. That is a God of immense power that can do that. And not only to transform us then, he can transform us now. There is no greater testimony to God's power than a transformed life. And Paul says in Ephesians 1:18 that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. To transform your life. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. God not only saves you and rescues you when you put your trust in Jesus to save you from your sins and are baptized, he gives you his Holy Spirit to make sure that you get to the finish line and finish well. Let's stand for prayer. This is a prayer from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. We've made it personal. We've kind of not changed the meaning or anything, but we've made it personal. Because Paul was praying for the church there in Ephesus. So this is our prayer as we close today. You ready? Say it with me. I pray that from your glorious, unlimited resources that you will empower me with inner strength through your Spirit. Make your home in my heart, Father. Help me understand and experience how wide, how long, how high, and how deep your love is. I want to experience your fullness. Make me whole. Now to you, O Lord, who is able to do immeasurably more than I could ever ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within me. To you be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, if we can assist you with prayer or to talk about getting your life right with God, won't you come as Tommy sings the song?